away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living down.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Hey, always podcasting, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am the smooth-talking Walter Deraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
Oh, if only that were true. And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College. And as always, we are your illustrious hosts, guiding you through the world of the comic book industry, one book at a time.
One book at a time.
Yeah. And, of course, with us every Wednesday, we also have the young but fertile Shecky Feldstein.
He's like the Nile Delta.
So I'm like some sort of plantation of yours, Chris? Is that what we're saying?
Hey, good to have you with the Shecky, as always.
Always glad to be here.
Where you are our guiding light.
Yes.
You are our lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Okay.
He's a
beacon.
Let's
just stop, right? Hey.
How many things can I be?
You know what? You're all you have to be and more, if that makes sense.
Alrighty
then.
Enough about that.
Man, hey, listen.
If that weren't a segue, I don't know what it is.
Listen, we start every show.
Poorly.
And this one is no exception. We start every show with the new comics that are hitting the local comic book shop. This show champions the local comic book store. So wherever you're listening from, what every corner and crevice and recess of the world, make sure you head out to your local comic book shop. Preferably not while the show's on. I mean, try to hear us out.
Yeah.
Try to hear us out first.
Give us a chance.
Yeah, and then head out to your local comic book shop and support your local comic book shop.
Okay, so we're going to talk about New This Week. Shecky, do you have a sponsor for New This Week?
You know I do, Chris. New This Week brought to us by Fall Weather. Do you like leaves changing color and wearing hoodies? No, and neither do superheroes. Boycott fall.
Oh, I wish I could.
That's a little harsh.
It's a little harsh, though.
Yeah. No, I like fall. Fall's
like
good.
Fall's
good. Everything has its time. And
everything's wet. Everything's changing colors. Everything's cool. It's windy.
It's true.
Wow.
And it's only
I almost want to not do the show anymore. I just want to jump off a bridge somewhere.
And you know what? It's only the promise of getting worse. That's the biggest
thing. The next section will be brought to you by Prozac.
Wow. Vitamin D.
Let's talk about New This Week. So
cheer me up, Chris. Okay, after Shecky there,
I'm going to cheer you up.
I can't help what sponsors we have, okay?
Okay, I'm going to cheer you up. nothing cheers up a person better than Bloodthirsty.
Oh.
One Nation Underwater. So this is a comic by Mark Landry and Ashley Witter. And this is by the company Titan Books. It is a number one. There's a couple different covers there, but so it's just it's another one of those kind of like apocalyptic kind of
action adventure thrillers.
Except this one has a little bit of gore, a little bit of naughty bits in it.
Yeah, any TNA?
A little bit. I don't want to give too much away.
Don't give it away.
TNA here. I'll show you because you know.
No, don't show me.
Well, you know, I think you need to see this.
Okay.
Well, it's about time you learned a little bit about the birds and the bees.
Mm. Oh boy.
And there's a rat in here as well. So there you go. Birds, bees, and rats.
That is wonderful.
Dirty rat,
now
dude.
I get it.
Yeah.
You dirty rat. Hey, listen. Bloodthirsty, One Nation Underwater is available at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Next up, we've got the all-new Archie number 3 by Mark Waid and Fiona Staples. And, of course, you know, the typical kind of Archie hijinks is going on. You know, we got Veronica and Archie, and they're going out, and Jughead.
Oh, yeah, I love the Veronica and Archie hijinks.
You know what it is. Anyways, the same old, same old.
Don't say it like that, Chris.
Yeah.
Don't say it like that.
New. It's all new.
Okay.
It's like the new thing.
True.
Yeah. How is it the same old?
In this issue, Veronica Lodge starts going to Riverdale High.
Oh.
So Archie is smitten and wants to make Veronica's first day at Riverdale a memorable one. But, of course, Jughead doesn't like it. So, you know, he's getting a little jealous. A little jelly.
You know how you do it? Usually under the bleachers out at the old football stadium. That's how they make it memorable.
Is that where you did it?
I don't know what you're talking
hey
about.
Hey, guys, okay, right. Archie number 3, available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay, I've got another number 1 here. Now, it seems to me like Image is putting out a lot of number 1s.
They are. They certainly are.
Is this because they're just throwing...
They sell number 1s. That's why they put them out.
They're known for number 1s.
Well, no. Image is the... creator-owned thing.
Right.
So lots of number ones. Lots of creative teams trying out new number ones.
Right.
Well, and Image saying, yeah, sure, we'll print it for you. That type of thing, right?
That is true. That is true. So, well, this one is it's called From Under Mountains. And it's...
From Under Mountains?
That's, yeah, I don't even... it's,
is that did like, you get that right?
Yeah, from, Chris, is that like From Under Cheese?
It says From Under Mountains.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I don't even know what to make of this. It's got one of those, it's like a spiritual kind of Middle Eastern feel to it. It's by Sloan Leong Lung and Claire Gibson.
Wow. Are there any jinns in it?
There might be. I saw some sort of mystical type thing there. So hey. Actually, there was something coming out of
Shecky's about to say something bad against me. Hey, I'm not sure what.
If you rub my lamp, I'll give you a gin.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Is that how much you're charging these days?
Wow.
One gin?
Hey, From Under Mountains. Well, it's hot in here, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
From Under Mountains, number 1, from Image, available at your local comic shop today.
All right. Next up, I want to talk about, 50 years of S.H.I.E.L.D. through Marvel. They're talking about...
That's a long time of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's a long time of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, of course, Marvel is celebrating S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury and all that. And based on the TV show, Melinda May from the S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel Agents
of
S.H.I.E.L.D.,
right. Yeah.
They've now given her own book called...
It's about
it says,
time.
It says, Don't Call Her the Cavalry. And so it's right. The
cavalry. I thought it was, Don't Call Her, She'll Call You.
She'll call you. Don't call her late for dinner.
Yeah. Hey, the Cavalry, number 1, 50 Years of S.H.I.E.L.D. at your local comic book shop today.
So here's a book that I was interested in seeing. It's Captain America White number 2. So, of course, Captain America White number 1 came out a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
I believe we covered it here on Comic Book Daily.
We did.
I mean, on Comic Culture.
Okay, so, interestingly enough...
Which you can listen to on Comic Book Daily.
Yes.
I was looking at... So remember
our numbers?
Well,
are we up?
No,
we're down.
So do you
every minute they're going down.
Yeah. Do you remember on the cover? It said it had an 08, like the artwork. Oh,
that's
that
right.
Done,
yeah,
was done in 08.
So
okay. Well, here's the thing. So I was going through my old comics and I actually found the original Captain America White, and it was a preview, and it was supposed to be due out soon. Of course, then like all of a sudden now it's 7 years later,
right,
and they're finally coming out with the series. But this was hot off the heels of all those other Marvel color books.
Yeah,
we talked about blue and gray and yellow, and so now they're finally finishing it. I guess maybe they're waiting for Tim Sale's art or something, or Jeff Loeb's writing or something.
They're awfully busy, guys.
They're awfully busy. Yeah. They are awfully busy. So, anyways, so I do like the look of this book.
It's a good looking book.
It's a
good looking book.
It is.
I didn't really care for the first issue. However, this one I actually like.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
All right. That's a Captain America White number 2, and that's at your local comic book shop.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, here's a book that's near and dear to my heart.
Uh huh.
Wonder Woman 77 special.
Is that a good looking book there, Chris?
This, you know,
it's got Linda Carter on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
It is a damn good looking book.
She's got a great smile right there.
Yeah, she does.
Great visage.
She sure does. You know, so this is a book. It's number 2, so it's based on the fact they're trying to make a comic out of the Wonder Woman, out of Linda Carter, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're sort of taking that series and making comics out of it. And you know what? I love it. I love the look of it. The artists in it were able to capture Linda Carter's personality. And
okay, Chris,
profile
let's take a moment. Let's segue. Let's segue.
All right.
Let's do superheroes.
Superheroes. Okay.
Okay. Let's do the definitive actor, actress,
yep, okay,
for the superheroes.
Okay, yep,
Wonder Woman, hands down, Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
Will never be another Wonder Woman.
Agreed.
Linda Carter.
No.
Agreed.
You know what? It could have been Lucy Lawless when she was younger if she didn't take the whole Xena thing. If this were, you know, the whole superhero bubble were like 15 years later, she would have been Wonder Woman in the movies.
Who invited him?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
My
bad.
Superman?
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah. Who's the new kid?
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, good kid.
Yeah, good kid.
Good looking kid. Nice kid. Probably goes to church on Sundays. But
he's no Gil Gerard.
Yeah, he's no Gil Gerard. No. But he ain't no what's the guy's name again? Christopher Reeve. Yeah, he ain't no Christopher Reeves.
Absolutely not.
Christopher Reeves, hands down.
Okay, so next question though. Next question is a big one. Batman.
There isn't one.
There
isn't one.
I don't know.
There isn't one.
I don't think it's Michael Keaton. I don't think it's...
Michael Keaton's the greatest. Come on now.
It's not George Clooney.
No.
It's not him and it's not Val Kilmer. No. It would come down to between Bale and Keaton.
No, I don't think Bale is it. Bale's kind of like... He's generic.
He's good, but he's generic.
Good. Nah, he's a crazy, generic. Like, character, like Adam method West? Actor. I don't know.
Yeah, but nobody likes that Batman.
No.
Yeah.
Right? So...
No, there is no Batman. There is no...
Yeah.
But is that because... Now, here's the question.
Here's the thing.
Is that because the character supersedes the actor?
Yeah. Well, that... You know...
You know what? In that way, it might.
It's hard to argue Supes, right? Because Supes is the iconic superhero.
Yeah.
And yet Christopher Reeves put his stamp on it. So I'm just surprised that nobody... Hey, you know who else nobody's put their stamp on? It's Spider-Man.
Nope.
There's no Spider-Man stamp.
Nope, no Spider-Man
stamp. Now... Iron Man.
It's all over.
I would say Iron Man is up there in the league of Linda Carter in terms of owning that.
No, well, hold on, come on, Hugh Jackman.
I don't know about Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he's up there. Is he? Yeah,
yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see though. We'll see. We'll see whoever the next person's going to be for Wolverine.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe.
Okay. So hold on.
So definitely Linda Carter for Wonder Woman. Yep. What's the guy's name we were just talking about?
Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve for Superman and Iron Man's
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. Those guys own those heroes.
I agree.
Own them.
Yep.
And it's going to be really hard for somebody busting in next.
Yeah. Right.
To take control. Now, but in Days of Future Past, who played the young? Was there a young Wolverine in that?
No,
it was Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman. Lot of CGI, and I don't want to say
that
what
was
else.
Wrong on their part. Yeah. They should have broken a kid
supplements.
In.
Hugh Jackman the other day said that he thought that the person that should play Wolverine after him is the guy that was in Mad Max. The
Shecky Feldstein.
No, not even close.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
Really?
Yeah.
He's just, you know what?
He's Australian too, probably, right?
Yeah, he is Australian. He's British.
Tom Hardy's on such an up slope right now. He's only been hot for like the last, 3 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So, is it okay? I don't want to go through every comic character, but are there any other actors out there that owned that?
No, I'm thinking Wonder Woman. Linda Carter's one of them for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Christopher Reeves and I think Robert Downey own those guys, those people, those actors.
And nobody else.
Nope. And I don't know what you guys say, Jackman.
No, you guys
say Hugh Jackman.
You know, I have to say, a lot of the X-Men cast own their characters.
Nah, I don't think so. Xavier. Telly Savalas could have played him.
You're only saying Telly Savalas.
Because you're a bald guy and you hope to be in that role.
I'm just saying.
Nah, Telly could have done it. Who loves you, Wolvie?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, maybe.
Most of the X-Men films were cast very appropriately.
Okay. Very appropriately and owning the role is two different things.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, very appropriately. Anyway, keep moving on.
Go ahead. From DC, we've got Suicide Squad Annual number one. So, Walt, are annuals anything anybody should ever buy? I mean, or is it just strictly to read the books? I mean, if you're a collector, do annuals ever count?
Well, here's the thing. Annuals used to be just reprints of stories that kids might have missed.
Right.
And then in the mid-60s into the early 70s, they got into some original material. Like Sue Storm and Reed Richards got married in FF Annual 3. Right, you know, some important things happened. And then it went back to being reprints and stuff.
Right.
And I honestly haven't read a DC annual lately, so I don't know. I'm assuming this is original content.
It's all original content.
Yeah. So that's the good thing. Yep. So if you're a fan of Suicide Squad and you're getting your 12 issues a year, and then an annual is nice.
Okay, fair enough.
And so my vote is annuals are good, and Suicide Squad number one is out. Annual number one is at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Zodiac Star Force.
Zodiac Star Force. Number two.
This, I'm not going to even pretend to say that I read this. This looks like Rainbow Bright and Gem and the Holograms had a crazy kid and threw up all over the place.
Nice. Love Child.
So this would be one that you don't recommend.
You know what? I'm not saying I don't recommend it. It's just not for me.
Oh, okay.
All right. Zodiac Star Force is not for Chris, but good news. It may be for you.
It's a lot of pink in that book.
And that's available.
I might want it.
I mean the color.
And it's available at your local comic book shop today.
I still might want it.
Okay, so last up, I love this book. It's Hip Hop Family Tree number 2.
I said a hip, a hop, a hibby to the hibby. Yeah. I don't. That's all I know.
Yeah, I'm not going to continue on with that. I love the fact that this book looks like it was created in the 1960s and 70s, and it's all about hip hop artists and. Yeah. All that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, very cool stuff. So it's got, I don't even know who's on the cover. Oh, it's Rapper's Delight, the hip-hop hippie to the hippie.
I was going to say, who wrapped the hip to the hippie?
The Rapper's Delight, and it's cool, and it's from Fantagraphic Books.
Yep.
Hip-Hop Family Tree number 2, available at your local comic book shop today.
Isn't that the name of the song, Rapper's Delight?
Yes, it is.
Who rapped?
Oh, Little Feat.
No.
Sugar Hill Gang.
There you go.
Hey-ho.
What the heck is Little Feet?
I'm not sure.
Is that a real person?
Yeah, it's a band, but it was like a hippie band from the 60s.
All right.
I went there by default. Sorry, Chucky.
All right. Let's.
Hey, that was just a small smattering of comics that are available at your local comic book shop today.
Correct. So let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about comics.
Sure thing.
Yep, absolutely. And just like us. This Krantz is out of control.
Oh boy, here we go.
Chris, like,
that was out of control.
That is out of control. Hey, and a great segue into our next segment, which is industry news.
Industry news. Do we have a, what do you call it, sponsor for industry news there, Shecky?
Someone who pays us money, Chris.
Well, sure.
Perhaps.
All right, nice.
And that person may be, for industry news, the Hamilton Comic Con, where you can pay Short Round to call you Doc Jones for a price.
Oh, nice.
I don't get it.
The guy that played Short Round is going to be at the Hamilton Comic Con.
What is a Short Round?
Okay, so in the movie Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, there was a character called Short Round.
Okay. Was that the little kid?
Yeah.
He was
the little Asian boy.
Yeah.
Japanese American?
I don't know.
Filipino.
He was Oriental American.
Uh-huh.
And he was he was
savvy. I remember the little kid. Yeah. I just don't remember his name. Yeah. Short Round. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I got some interesting things I want to talk to you about today with the industry news.
Okay.
Sorry. What? You're pointing at him. What?
I thought the producer talked to us early in the day about a mailbag. Or
something. Oh, right. Yeah. I forgot we have mailbag. Yes.
I thought he was pointing out when I was picking my nose, which, you know, okay, well, I asked you kindly before not to.
I know.
Let's do mailbag. Let's do mailbag.
Yeah. And he was all excited because, guys, we got an email.
Right,
we got a mailbag.
Right.
And he's all, like, excited.
I know.
And there you are. You just fluff him off.
Because I thought we were doing industry news.
You fluffed him off.
But that's because it came in.
Fluffer.
And then I actually read it. And I got less excited. But
okay, so should we just skip it then?
I was trying to throw it. No. I was trying to throw it under the rug, but
too late now.
Okay.
Oh, come on, let's just hear it. Let's hear it.
All right, so Walt, this is actually kind of directed at you.
Uh-oh.
So
probably a bad idea then.
Walt.
Yeah.
So what's the deal with this exchange rate in comic book stores? For one, I'm pretty upset the dollar has tanked, and now my new books and trades cost more in store. But the real kicker was, I went into a store, and without saying a word, they started adding an unknown percentage to my books. No advertisement or notice of amount. So how do I tell if I'm getting ripped off? Do I have to look up the current rates every Wednesday or what? How do you get a good tackle on staying up to date with those prices without irritating customers? And, no, that's it. That's all this guy.
I'm sure.
Hold on. It sounded like he had more.
No.
You stopped prematurely.
Yeah.
Is his name Bitterman?
What else was in the mailbag?
So another thing. I thought the idea of a new season of the show was to gain listeners. Why are you letting Shecky do his bits? Not that I have anything better to listen to, but still.
Hey, I like that kid. Yeah. Whoever sent that email is straight on.
This caller
Bitterly is. Yours, John.
Whoa, nice. Right. It is John. Right. Okay. Well, John, hey, you know what? Anything we buy right now in Canada, from vegetables to cars to TVs, is affected by the exchange rate. And
that is true.
Comics are...
He actually does raise a good point, though, where... Comics are... You know, maybe some shops dictate different percentages, and some of them customers know, and some of them might not.
Well, I'm sure most of them do, and maybe they just didn't post it properly or something like that. Just ask. Just, John, just ask. Just say, hey, I know the dollar's tanking. I know you guys have to charge an exchange. What's the policy here? Are you charging a flat exchange over a certain period of time and changing it, you know, begrudgingly, or are you doing a floating exchange on whatever's that exchange that week?
But,
you know,
but I mean,
if they're not, then you know, any customer should say, hey guy, you know, can you just post it at the front counter so I know?
Right, because you can understand the concern when you just go up to the front counter. Let's say it, whether it's a sticker or not that's on the back of the book, if there's no Canadian price sticker, you know, it just says $19.99, whether it says U.S. or not, and you bring it up, and you're getting charged, you know, and after taxes and everything, you're at $29.50 or something. There's no exchange conversion anywhere up by the counter.
Yeah.
There's no Canadian price sticker on the book. How do you know that?
Shecky, it's a tough one. It's a tough one for shops because the shops hate it, because it was a different thing when, you know, coming through the 90s when it was $1.60.
Yeah.
And then it was beautifully coming down to $1.50, $1.40, $1.30. It was, you know, comic shops were the bearers of good news to their customers, hey guy, you know, we're just decreasing 10% exchange rate.
Yeah.
Hey guy, we're just decreasing 10%. We felt good. We felt great about passing those savings on to the customer, but now it's like, hey guy, you know, we got to increase. So as long as the communication between the shop and the customer is clear
signage,
I think people understand.
And you know what, I went into comic book store, your store, actually a couple weeks ago, and I was just perusing. I was looking at a graphic novel, you know, and one of your clientele, you know, actually just happened to bring a book up. And without anything, just said, hey, by the way, you know, just so you know, exchange rates are kind of like dipping even worse. So just having staff, I guess, aware to probably let people know it kind of on the fly, even though it's, you know, you're kind of like a dog with your tail between your legs. But,
no, we only, you know, at our start, we only handle, I'm sorry, we only hire money traders now.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, okay, there you go.
So that way there's never a problem.
People who daily, they trade daily. You
know? They trade daily.
Good. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks for the email.
Thanks, John. That's good.
Hey, listen, maybe next email you can pick something cheerier.
Are you getting done with your money talk here?
My goodness. All right. Let's get into industry news and talk about stuff that's
Finally. So I want to talk about retailers.
Whoa.
So let's talk about money.
Seriously. So I was reading an interesting article today.
Yeah.
It said, do comic book TV shows sell comic books? So the retailers were all weighing in on this topic. So, you know, the superheroes and comic books properties have become very popular. So now, Walt, this is something near and dear to your heart. So, you know, does the popularity of the TV shows and the movies and everything, is that raising the popularity of the comic books themselves?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, obviously, more people are coming in interested in, let's say, the best example is probably Daredevil, right?
Okay.
Because that's a TV show.
I thought you were going to say The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Walking Dead, though, but No, Walking Dead was reverse. Walking Dead, Walking Dead ebbed and flowed.
Okay.
Okay, and what I mean by that is Walking Dead initially gained a cult following among comic shop patrons that increased the circulation on their own just because word of mouth coming in, you know, comic shops are selling 15 of number 8. They're selling 25 of number 18. By number 70-something, they were selling 100 copies a month. And in between there somewhere, the TV show started, which gained more readers. And the TV show started because of the popularity of the comic.
Right.
And then the TV show. And then the TV show sent in more new
readers.
Right. So it was kind of a – it went from comics to TV and then back to comics a bit. So whereas a thing like Daredevil had that core Daredevil group of comic book readers.
Right.
And then the TV show on Netflix came on.
Yep.
And then that brought in definitely just new show fans to the Daredevil.
Right, yep.
So, but what I will say is this, is buying monthly comics, buying the floppies, as we say, buying that serialized way of reading it, isn't for everybody.
No.
Sure. You could be a huge fan of the Daredevil and the Walking Dead.
Yes.
And yet you may not want to partake in a monthly comic book.
But you might want to read the trades.
Which is good. I mean, you know, the example I always use is, I think, what, 30, 40 million North Americans went to see Avengers?
Right.
Yeah, and what, 80,000 read them monthly? Yeah, that's a sliver of a percent.
Great point.
You know what I mean?
Point,
yeah. So the monthly comic format where you're coming in and getting a pull and hold service at your local shop isn't necessarily for everybody.
Nope.
That's now, what they are doing, like the report says, is they are bringing in people into the shop, and a lot of them are trying the monthly comic. A few of them are signing on. Maybe, you know, after a few months, it's not for me. But then they're trying the graphic novels, they're trying other stories. Right. So it's definitely helping, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I mean, the article says that Arrow and Flash have brought in new customers, and people that are fans of the Gotham TV series are coming up in, and they're buying Gotham Central trades.
Yep.
And even like iZombie, and you know, so there's lots of things that are happening. So it's good to know.
It's good. I mean, it's a great trend. It's better than, you know, the alternative, but it's a great trend. It's just the there's a lot of things at the local comic book shop that above and beyond the monthly comic that the fans can buy.
Yep, interesting. So on the tail of that article, I've also got so I found this interesting article on Screen Rant about superhero TV shows that never made it. Superhero TV shows that never made it.
Never got a dinner.
So. Did you know that even way back in 1967, they were going to try a Wonder Woman TV series?
Wow.
So,
hold on, let me guess. Ursula Andrews.
No.
Raquel Welch.
No, you'll never guess.
Dickinson.
You'll never guess. It was actually...
I just guessed.
Okay, you never guessed correctly.
Okay.
It was actually Linda Harrison who played in... the original Planet of the Apes movie.
Oh, she was...
Charlton Heston's love interest.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
At least I think that's who it was anyways. I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So apparently, like, so... I guess in that particular instance, the popularity of the Batman TV series... the same producer and same everything, you know, thought he would try his hand at the Wonder Woman thing, and of course, just didn't really work out that very well. Then later on, in 1975, they tried to do a Black Widow TV series, and that was with
Pam Grier.
Oh, if only. That would have been awesome.
Right.
No, it was with Angela Bowie, who was then David Bowie's wife at the time.
And of course, you know that Mick's song, the Stone song, Angie.
Right.
Angie.
Yeah. Is that about her?
Angie. Yeah, it's about her.
Oh, is it really?
Mick had a thing on for Dave's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why the show never took off.
Mm-hmm.
So then they've got, they tried a Daredevil show back then in 1975.
Really?
With some guy named Ben Carruthers, who was one of the drummers from Megadeth. So right. He played Daredevil. Yeah.
Wait, isn't the NASA like the... Oh, Megadeth. Never mind.
Hey, you know what the thing, though,
Metallica.
Is...
Metallica.
Remember? I was going to say, because that's Lars... whoever.
Lars...
Megadeth. That was the rejected lead singer of Metallica, though.
Oh.
Dave Mustaine.
All right, well, there you go.
Yeah, they got rid of him for drug use and alcoholism.
Oh,
wow.
Well, there you go. Well, I never got a dinner.
Never got a dinner. So maybe right around that time, was it, what, 75?
Yep.
Okay, so I think 73, 74. Remember that there was a show called Long Street, I think it was, where it was the blind lawyer?
Oh, yeah.
And it was, and he kind of figured out crimes, but he was blind.
Oh, interesting.
And the most famous one of that was there was an episode called The Way of the Intercepting Fist.
Oh,
and
interesting.
The guest star was Bruce Lee.
Really?
Yeah. And so Longfellow, or not Longfellow.
Longfellow.
Yeah, I think it was okay.
Shakespeare?
Johnny Longfellow.
I totally got the guy's name wrong. But anyway,
Longstreet.
Yeah, Longstreet.
okay.
Yeah, he. There's somebody after him. Somebody wanted to kill him.
Okay.
And so Bruce Lee taught him how to, you know, basically, okay, you know, when you hear somebody coming you know, kill the switch, turn off all the lights, and then you're both equal.
Interesting.
And then, you know, through these techniques, you can know where your opponent is and stuff like that. It was fascinating. It was a fantastic book.
So,
yeah.
So was that, like, you know, based on, like, a Daredevil type thing?
No, it was basically just kind of, like, regular life. This guy was a lawyer, but he was blind.
No, I just meant, like, do you think that episode was maybe loosely based on Daredevil? Like, I mean...
Well, it was a TV series that may have been loosely based on Daredevil. Right. I don't know. It was a TV series.
Just when you talk about some guy coming in and training, I'm thinking like Iron Fist.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. And so that was kind of cool. Yeah, and it was really good. So anyway, keep going.
You've taught me something today there, Will.
There you go.
Okay, so then in 1978, there was actually, for you know, those who in the know, there was actually a made-for-TV movie about Doctor Strange with Peter Hooton.
Peter Hooton?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who kind of looked like Alex Trebek at the time.
Right.
And so they tried to make a TV series out of that, never got a dinner.
Mm.
Nicholas Hammond tried his hand at Spider-Man. I don't know if you've ever seen those old episodes.
No, I know. You and I talked about this before. The Doctor Strange, I think they missed the boat by about 5 years. I think a 1971 sepia tony horror Vincent Pricey type of Doctor Strange would have been
hilarious.
Perfect.
House of Fright and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm. Spider-Man, Nicholas Hammond tried their hand at that in 1983. In 1985,
I heard that Hammond's got quite an organ.
That's a terrible joke. 1985 and in 1989 they tried Daredevil again. Daredevil? Yeah,
really?
They tried it, and they remember in the 1989 one, Daredevil, the character of, they call it, they said that guy's a Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
It was in the Hulk made for TV movie.
Yeah.
And it was Rex Smith played the guy, and he had a mask on kind of thing, but he couldn't see. He didn't look like Daredevil.
Right.
He didn't own the rights to Daredevil, but it was sort of leading into the idea of a Daredevil type character.
Was Lou Ferrigno in that one?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Then in 1989, they tried to do. They thought about doing a She-Hulk TV series. So with Bridget Nielsen, who was also she was one of the Conan movies, wasn't she? Wasn't she like, or she Red Sonja or something like that, or wanted to play Red Sonja? Wasn't she?
Yeah. She was Red Sonja.
Yeah, I think so.
She's really good. Yeah.
And then, believe it or not, they wanted to have a Power Pack TV series. So that was about the little kids. They wanted to put that on Saturday mornings with little kids with powers. 1991, Solar Man. Never even heard of that.
Wow.
Some crazy, weird Marvel thing.
Wow.
In 1997, they tried to do a JLA TV series, and I've seen it. It's terrible. you can find all this stuff on the internet.
Okay.
1999, Bruce Wayne show. 2006, an Aquaman show.
I did. 2006. I saw the trailers for the Aquaman show.
And that was based,
I saw it.
Yeah, and that was based on the old small, what's it called? Small,
I'm not going to help you.
Smallville. Yeah.
It was out of Smallville, the TV series.
Right.
Smallville.
Okay. I remember seeing the trailer for that, though, and it's just literally some kid at a pier.
Yeah.
You know, off in the ocean, whatever.
Swimming
with the fish.
Yep.
Talk to fish.
Swim. Talk to fish. So now here, the last two I really like, though. So in 2010, they were actually thinking about doing an Incredible Hulk TV show. And they were trying to get director Guillermo del Toro to be involved in that.
Uh-huh. Okay, now that would have been big.
That would have been great.
Just because of the director alone. Because I'm sure a lot of these other shows didn't have quality direction or actors or cast. Hard to say.
I don't but be talking like that, Checky. Come on.
You know what? Having Del Toro, you probably could have had just about anyone playing the character, and it would have been okay.
Yeah, for sure. And then, most recently in 2011, they had Wonder Woman, who was starring Adrian Palicki, who then went on to become Mockingbird in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Nice.
Chris. What was this? What season was this?
In 2011.
Which one's Mockingbird? Who's Mockingbird?
The blonde girl, Bobby. Bobby Chase.
She's mocking. I don't know because they don't name her.
Oh yeah,
that.
that's
really okay. That's her
in Marvel. That's Mockingbird.
Oh, she's pretty.
Chris, you missed a few.
I did.
Yeah, there's a few more. I
had them all.
No, I went on the internet and found a few more. That
really, Walt's resources are.
Yeah, listen. Okay. Yeah, I got a few. I got a couple emails saying, "Hey, Chris missed a few." I don't know how he found out that you were researching.
You already got emails.
Yeah. I'm online live we're talking.
Yeah, there was in 1978, they tried to make a Black Lightning TV show, and they had auditions Rudy Ray Moore and Nipsey Russell.
Put some weight on it, Rudy Ray Moore.
And they couldn't decide, so it never flew, because it was like a neck-and-neck race. You know, neck-bone race.
And Dolomite.
Dolomite. Yeah. Rawhide Kid in 1970. They tried to make it with Glenn Campbell.
Really?
And that never.
I can't imagine why.
Falcon, 1971.
Oh.
Had Flip Wilson lined up, but he was doing well on TV with the other show, he said no. And then, in 75, they had Man-Thing.
Man-Thing?
Yeah, they had Linda Lovelace as the lead. And in 76, they tried again. They had Night Nurse with Amber Lynn.
Nice.
And and those never went. And not many people know it. They tried Iron Man in 1967.
Really?
With Dean Martin, but they just couldn't get it to go.
Oh, it's too bad. It's too bad. I don't know where that went, but...
Dean's an alcoholic.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You know what? That's all I got.
Is it wrong that I didn't understand a single one of these?
You know, I got some of them. I got most of them. Anyway,
anybody over 50 is just laughing their head off right
even
now.
Though, hey, I'm not that. I'm not
so
that
none of
yet.
Our listeners? Yeah. None of our three listeners?
All right, you know what?
Hey, my mom is chuckling right now, all right?
Yeah. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. I'm sure you got something lined up for us that's cool and fun and maybe something from old-timey TV shows.
Oh, something like that. A little bit of a cartoon special
for
you.
All right, let's hear it. All right, that was Crypto, the Super Dog.
I was going to ask you, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
All right, who sang that there, Shiki?
That'd be, I think that was Crypto who sang it himself.
Crypto?
Yeah, it was Crypto himself, yeah. Listen, let's continue on with industry news. Shiki, do we have any more sponsors?
Chris, I'll take a dollar from anyone who's willing to give it, okay?
Nice.
Yeah. Industry news part two, brought to us by... None other than, once again, the Hamilton Comic Con, where for a bottle of vodka, Tara Reid might touch your own Sharknado.
All right, let's... Walt, before we go on to industry news, I have another little trivia thing for you here.
Oh,
I want to ask, you know, I keep on getting asked to bring back trivia for Walt.
Mm-hmm. Stump the chump.
Mm. So I've got a couple questions here for you. And I apologize if some of them are too hard, too difficult.
Chris, it's never too hard for me.
You know, interestingly, you should say that. You know, I've heard that about you.
Well, I know where it gets around in the comic book community.
It sure does.
But they are right. Nothing's too hard for me.
Okay, well, first question. Who was of the big two of Marvel and DC?
Uh-huh.
Who was the first openly gay comic book character?
Wow, wonderful, wonderful.
Is this too hard for you?
No, openly gay is not hard.
Okay,
I'm gonna guess it's openly gay would be Northstar.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Northstar in
Alpha Flight number 106.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
I
know my gay.
You might even know something about comics.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this question's a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
And you can answer in three, possibly four different ways if you like.
What if I choose to answer in only one?
Well, you can do that too.
Okay.
So, when was the Comics Code Authority abolished?
Good God, James Brown would say.
So, for those who are listening and don't know what the Comics Code Authority,
the
Comics Code Authority was a third-party governing body that would review comic books, which started in the 1950s.
Yes.
And they would basically review comics to make sure that they were, you know, kid-friendly.
Wholesome. Yeah, the good guy always won.
Yeah. And they didn't have swearing.
Yeah, or drug use and stuff like that.
Yep.
I'm going to guess, Chris, I think it petered out.
Okay,
I think it wasn't being enforced and it petered out. But I'm pretty sure it was something recent. I'm going to say 2010.
Okay, so you're half right and all wrong. So as I said, you can answer in different ways. So in Marvel, got rid of it in 2001.
Uh-huh.
By 2010, only three companies were still using it. Bongo Comics.
Bongo.
Which was the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
DC and Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Bongo got rid of it in 2010.
Right.
And DC and Archie both got rid of it in 2011.
See, I was close.
You were.
I get that right because technically a company did give that up in 2010.
That's why I said you're half right but all wrong.
You know when they... Do you know, here's a boring comic book trivia question.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
What comic book is very, very important in the history of comic books as probably the catalyst for the Comics Code Authority being revamped and ushering in a whole new era of comics?
Now, hold on.
I want to guess.
Go ahead.
I won't. Go ahead. You go ahead.
It's an Iron Man comic.
No.
It's a Spider-Man.
Yes, it is.
It's a Spider-Man comic.
Yes, it is.
And I want to say it's issue number...
I like it, Chris.
178?
No, close. 96.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think it was that early.
Yeah. So what happened in issue 96, really quickly, the U.S. government came to Stan Lee and said, "Hey, Stan, write us a story, an anti-drug use story."
See, I knew that.
Yeah.
Stan
wrote an anti-drug use story. And, of course, the Comics Code Authority, being independent, saw drugs.
Yeah,
so we can't
do that.
Oh, we can't sanction this.
Yep.
But Stan goes, "Hey, the government asked me to write this."
Yep.
So Stan says, "Well, hey, I'm printing it anyway."
Yep.
And famously, Amazing Spider-Man issue 96, 97, 98 had no Comics Code Authority.
Right.
They are called the drug issues.
Nice.
They are affectionately called by collectors the drug issues. Now, but what happened there, real quick, what happened there was that whole fiasco made the Comics Code Authority loosen the restrictions. And that was a 1971 comic. 70 or 71, and within a year of that, you had, you know,
Green Lantern,
Tomb of Dracula, Werewolf by Night, all these kind of, because they loosened the rules, you know, Morbius, all the vampire stuff, all the horror stuff came back,
interesting.
Yeah, Swamp.
Because they were not allowed to have horror books.
They weren't allowed. So
even drug use now.
Drug use Lantern, and, you know, Green Lantern with Neil Adams stuff. And so that book was huge in terms of relaxing the Comics Code Authority, but then eventually it just petered out, like you said.
Very interesting, Walt.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Well, you like to bore people, that's for sure.
Ooh.
So, what was the name? Next question. What was the name of the predecessor of Superman's Fortress of Solitude, and when did it first appear? So, we all know that Superman, his fortress, has his Fortress of Solitude up north somewhere. Well, he had his own kind of place to hang out before that, and it had a certain name, and when did it appear?
That was the Bracebridge Kaibab. And that appeared in 1939.
No.
No?
No, sorry.
Okay.
It was called... Do you want another guess, or are you...
Yeah, the Bracebridge Kaibab is the best I had. I'll just go downhill from there, Chris.
It was called Superman's Secret Citadel, and it appeared in Superman number 17.
Mm. That was great. Superman 17 had the Hitler Hirohito cover.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, great book.
You know what? That's probably why the Secret Citadel never gets a dinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Because the Hitler Hirohito cover.
But you can't say that five times fast.
I'm not going to try. Especially with all these beverages our sponsors are sending us.
Good. You know what's good is that Chris knows the actual the questionnaire type questions. And you know the covers?
Uh-huh.
He has no idea what's on the cover. He's just, oh yeah, that guy is on the cover. Yeah, that is the cover.
That's all right.
That's all right. Yeah. All right.
Keep it going,
okay,
Chris.
Two more questions for you.
I'm hot.
So, what was secret about?
Because I'm not going to understand it.
Okay, what secret about the Thing, the character of the Thing?
The Thing.
What secret about the Thing, the Fantastic Four, did Stan Lee finally make official in 2011?
That he wasn't always hard all over.
No.
No.
Close. Something like that.
Close, something like that, but...
In the trunks.
In fact,
something in the trunks.
In fact, quite the opposite.
He is always hard there.
Well...
So, that he was secretly a Jehovah Witness.
No. So Stan Lee said, when asked about, the Thing's...
Thing?
Thing, yeah.
The Thing's Thing?
He said, I guess common sense would say it was also would also be made of orange rock, too.
Uh-huh.
That was his line. So apparently it's made of orange rock. Now, of course, going on after that, because it says here, never wanted to let a perfectly sensational remark go to waste, Lee doubled down on the shock and awe and confirmed that Reed Richards, the elastic superhero, also known as Mr. Fantastic, is also in possession of a mutated phallus. I always thought it would be more interesting to think about Reed Richards. As you know, he has the ability to stretch, and sexually, that would seem to be a great asset in many areas.
Stan, get a grip on yourself. Stan, come on. Wow, that is fascinating stuff. I won't be able to sleep tonight. I don't
thinking about...
Although I will say, with that... comes the same properties of being like rubbery, like stretch. A lot of friction burns probably
that is
going on there.
Very possible.
Okay, let's end this right now.
We'll have one more question here. What fact does Disney not want to make public about Iron Man?
Disney?
Yeah. So of course we've got all these movies.
Can I guess?
Hold on. So we've had all these movies about the Avengers and Iron Man and all that. And of course Disney now owns Marvel.
So
what fact does Disney not want to make public about Iron Man?
Alcoholism?
Yeah, it is the alcohol. Yeah. So in the third Iron Man movie, it was supposed to be he was having problems with alcoholism, and in fact Disney went ahead and said, "No, let's make it that he has more of a post-traumatic stress disorder."
I hate that. I hate Disney.
So
they
don't want kids who are watching Iron Man to be, wanting to grow up to be an alcoholic.
but you write alcoholic stories as pathetic stories, and that is a deterrent. That is a deterrent to alcoholism.
It's a deficiency when you look at it in the film. Like if you were to write it as a problem, like he's struggling with
it. I agree.
Then
I agree.
Yeah.
Ah, damn. I hate
it's
Disney.
Too much
I really do.
An adult concern, I guess. Yeah.
It is.
And they're forgetting that the majority. I don't know about the majority, but a large part of their fan base is adults that want to see Iron Man treated in an adult fashion.
That's right.
Ah,
I agree. All right.
Anyway,
let's have a quick musical interlude. Then we got to talk about running out of time here. We've got to talk about the Hamilton Comic Con coming.
Very important.
After these important musical notes from Shecky that Shecky's about to play.
Absolutely.
I wish it would never end sometime.
I know, right? All right, Chris. So let's, Shecky, do we have one last sponsor for industry news?
You know what? I think we might, Chris.
All right, let's hear it.
Last sponsor for industry news, part, I guess, trois.
What'd you say?
Trois.
Okay, good.
I don't know, it depends what language are we speaking right now.
Just keep going.
Yeah,
keep
okay. Going. By the
don't lose your rhythm.
None other than the Hamilton Comic Con.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Tickets on sale Friday and Saturday only. See the sites and get the deals.
Okay, let's do it.
That one's straightforward and there's no joke there.
Really? No joke.
No. Yeah. No joke.
How about that?
Get deals, no joke. Yeah.
Pretty well like every other sponsor that Check has written. all right, let's talk about the Hamilton Comic Con, which is this weekend. Well, first of all, we have to tell the listeners and some very important news that we will be recording live.
You know, I don't
live
know why, on site. I don't know why you keep bringing this up.
No, Chris, you just need to suck it up and bear it. Yeah, okay? We're going to be live on site.
Comic Culture will be recording a show live at the Hamilton Comic Con.
Okay.
We encourage all the listeners to come in.
Drop by.
Yeah. And maybe even be on the show.
Shout out profanities in the background.
No, that's not.
Oh,
that's,
no, we don't do. No.
No. No. Okay. And so we're very excited about that. It's our first time.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah,
it
so
is.
We are. Be gentle. Yeah. We are live virgins.
We've done the show countless times. Mm-hmm. We've never actually had like the open atmosphere, the free
crowd. Yeah,
people
kind of looking at you off and weird.
Yeah, so you know what? This is actually going to be a big first, even though it's a relatively small show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be big for
for us.
Yeah, fair enough.
Comic Culture.
That's good. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, at the Hamilton Comic Con, mm-hmm. we're all going to be there. Chris is going to grace us with his presence Saturday only, that's apparently, right. Because he's much too important to work Sundays.
Appearing Saturday only.
Yeah. So
I thought it was because you didn't want to give him a badge.
Okay, you have to bring that up now.
Chris. I mean, that's all right.
Let's talk about what's going to excite us.
Hold on. First of all,
I think we need to tell the audience about
where the show is. So it's at the Hamilton Convention Center on Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6 on the Saturday and 10 to 5 on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
There is parking available, but it's sometimes hard to get to it might be a little expensive.
And it does fill up.
There is a lineup, so if you want to get there early. If you can buy tickets ahead of time, I advise that.
Okay.
And over to you.
All right, so it's sponsored by Mohawk College, and Nichelle Nichols, Uhura of Star Trek. I would love to go over and say hi to her.
You should.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I was always a big fan. I still am a big fan of the original Star Trek, and I thought her role was fantastic. Flash Gordon from the old 1970s, Sam J.
Flash.
Jones.
Oh.
Yep. I think that's cool. And Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. Yep. I love Seinfeld. I think he's cool. Little stupid little things like that. And they're not little. I mean, these are obviously successful actors
that's
and actresses.
Right. Yeah, I got to tell you right now. No, hold on. Tara Reid, okay? She's actually like a film actress. You know, star from American Pies and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they're actually big stars. Not that I'm...
Nichelle Nichols is a big star.
Yep.
Not that I'm trying to poo-poo on your stars or anything.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, like Soup
He's
Nazi.
He's poo-pooing on my
Soup
stars.
Soup Nazi, who's like a side character, okay? Tara Reid, who's like a sex symbol from the late 1990s, early 2000s. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, listen, to...
I don't think Soup Nazi's a sex
symbol,
young, okay?
To young single women that like soup.
Yeah.
Larry Thomas is one hell of a sex symbol.
You know what? You may have me there.
Oh, Larry.
I don't know.
Can you bring the ladle?
Yeah.
Yes.
More tomato bits.
Yes. Pour the soup over me now. I don't know where that went.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. So teach his own is what I'm saying.
That's okay, right. That's okay. Right. So I want to talk about a little bit of the different guests. So. Mm-hmm. We've got for celebrities, Boba Fett, Jeremy Bullock is going to be there. Sam Jones is going to be there. Ray Park, who played Darth Maul, who will be there. Laurie Holden from The Walking Dead will be there.
She's big. She's big. Yeah, that's a big show.
Yeah.
Is she big?
She's big.
John Schneider from the
Duke Walking
Brothers.
Dead.
What's called? No, what's called the
Dukes of Hazzard?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah,
Duke Brothers.
Let's duke it out. Hey, listen. I have a public service announcement as well. I know last week we mentioned a few of the Hamilton-centric booths that will be at the Hamilton Comic Con. Yeah. Well, I got a bunch of emails from other Hamilton-centric booths.
Be careful, because I think there's a restraining order. You're not allowed to service the Hamilton public anymore.
No. Listen, they were livid.
Go ahead.
Tim Hortons.
Oh, right.
Tim Hortons has a booth, and they email me, go, well, how can you not mention our booth?
True.
Because it's the only Comic-Con that they set up a booth is at Hamilton.
Nice.
And because, of course, the very first Tim Hortons absolutely in the world Hamilton. Was yep. in Hamilton. Yep. And how can I say this? It's the longest lineup at the con.
I bet.
Will be
I
at the
bet.
Tim Hortons yeah. booth. Yeah. So right? And that's the sad part.
Well, Saturday morning.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. So if you see a big line and you think it's the entry to like the show.
Sam Jones.
Yeah, or a celebrity. It's not. Yeah. It's the Tim Hortons lineup. Right. So unfortunately. There's a McMaster booth.
Oh, nice.
McMaster being the Hamilton University.
That's right, yeah.
Apparently you can't enter into their booth until you answer 97 out of 100 questions right.
Well, so luckily I'll be in the booth. Where are you guys going to be?
Well, luckily for us, there's the Mohawk booth right beside.
Oh, okay.
And apparently you have to answer 3 out of 100
to get into it. Hey, come on now.
I'm going to have to actually give you a high five for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, the Hanrahan's booth number 2.
Yeah.
Because they had one booth.
So they're popular.
Yeah, they're going to have 2 booths. Cheap booze, cheap women, and anything but cheap prices. Hanrahan's.
That's out of the big
booth. Well, no, the Hanrahan's number 2 booth is the official refreshment supplier of the Comic Culture Radio Show for the Saturday.
Nice.
So kudos to the Hamilton. What do you call them? The Hanrahan's booth number 2. And finally, the Stony Creek Dairy booth.
Oh, they're going to be there.
Yeah, there you go. The Stony That's Creek nice. Dairy booth. Their factory is closed down, but they do have a booth. And their new slogan is, "Come lick me."
Are you sure you didn't confuse it with one of the other booths?
No. Okay. The Stony Creek Dairy booth has come lick me. So
sure.
If you're at the show, please visit all the booths, especially the Bigby Comics booth.
Yeah, that is not our slogan.
Yeah, that's not our slogan. No. Our slogan is come and...
Buy lots,
yes.
Listen, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. We've run
I have more
time.
Booths!
Unfortunately, we can't talk about those anymore.
Fortunately, we can't.
All right, listen. Go ahead.
All right, so Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein. And we're at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station. Comic Culture is also podcast at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. And we encourage everybody to go out and support your local comic book shop.
Please go outside and have yourself a wonderful day.